Beloved radio friends, welcome to the closing meditation of our Philippian epistle. With greetings in the precious name of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we close our meditation with verses 10 through 23, the closing section of this letter. But first, shall we not consider Paul's words from verses 10 through 13? Paul rejoiced in the care that the Philippian believers had shown to him by sending a gift to meet his need. Yet, above all being in need, how victorious he was, no matter the circumstances, which he states in verse 11 and in verse 12. He was content, having learned through Christian experience, whether good or bad those experiences might have been, I have Christ. Whether he was in need, whether he had abundance, Christ alone was his sufficiency, enabling him to suffer if necessary, or even to abound when full. The secret of it, he states it in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, who strengtheneth or empowers me. My beloved, let me please state faithfully, in himself and by himself, Paul knew he had no strength to serve the Lord. Christ was all of his strength, whether he was abounding or whether he was suffering need. Paul trusted Christ completely. My beloved, isn't it a grand thing to know? Whether you're broke or whether you're rich, if you've got Christ, you can't take him away from you. Do you and do I, like Paul, trust him completely? He trusted Christ in adversity. He trusted Christ even in prosperity. Do you, do I? His faith always reckoned upon Christ, which ever kept him from being discouraged when suffering even privations? And what was probably more difficult, trusting Christ in prosperity. Now that can be more difficult. True, we turn to him when we're poor to meet our need. But this was the secret of a happy Christian life, which you and I should have, when Christ is the object and all in all to our heart. Oh, my beloved, may God fill your heart and mind with Christ. Now in verses 14 through 20, the beloved apostle appreciates the faithfulness and the love of the Philippian believers that had been shown to him from the very beginning. He had not forgotten this, what they had done in the past, and what a joy he had to remember these Philippian saints. They had been faithful to him in all of his ministry. And God never forgets either the practical ministry that his children may do to help his servants and to help his people. Have you never read the words of Hebrews 6:10? God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love which ye have shown toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. What an admonition and encouragement, Hebrews 6:10. Yet Paul, in the context of our letter, desires not to be misunderstood. He was not seeking another gift from them. Above all, he said, I want eternal fruit for you to be abounding by your sacrificial giving. Yes, my beloved friend, Paul was desirous that the Christians in the day of Christ that is coming, their practical ministry will be rewarded. And please, may I add this practical exhortation. Giving to the Lord, giving to his servants, giving to his work, when done as the Spirit enables, will bring eternal reward. Let me please point out, all material, monetary, practical giving to the Lord should be done in view of the coming Lord in that day of his coming we should expect as the result of our giving to Him eternal fruit. Let me repeat again. Giving to the Lord in whatever material, monetary, practical way, whatever direction God leads us to do it, should be done in view that in the day of the Lord's coming, it will bring fruit for Him. My beloved, I hope when you give to, well, may I put it in this respect, when whatever you give, please don't give it to the church, don't give it to the preacher, don't give it thinking you're giving it to this and that and the other. Are you giving it to the Lord? And say, Lord, this is for you. Use it for your glory. Bring eternal fruit. May God help us to do the right spirit of giving. All such ministry to God's people, His work and His saints should be done not for self-glory, but in view of the fruit it will bring to the Lord at His coming again. And it'll bring fruit to the believer too. You may give to the church. You may give to this organization and that and so on. But may I advise my fellow Christians, make sure when you give from your heart, as well as your checkbook and your pocketbook. Give to the Lord. He knows. He remembers when you give it to Him. Please, may I say, look beyond the need. Look beyond the recipient. After all, it's given to the Lord. For what a verse we have to follow with, the 19th. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul, as he commends them for their giving, expresses his desire that they would prove God could meet every need. He knew his God so well that he counts upon God to supply all of his need and all the need of his beloved fellow believers. My beloved, I say frankly, sadly, but truthfully, I wish that more churches and more preachers would prove Philippians 4:19. Thank God our Heavenly Father above is not bankrupt. The Bank of Heaven will never fail. The Federal Reserve Bank may someday fail, and as far as I know from my Bible, it will. Someday. And you and I may experience bank failures down here. But the Bank of Heaven never fails. May I humbly, but for God's glory alone, state the fact. I can testify that over 50 years of ministry, I have depended upon my Lord to meet my need, asking no contribution, never promised a salary, never taking one, simply proving in the Lord's work, in simple dependent faith in God, He keeps this promise. My God is able to provide all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Well might Paul say, and I join him in it, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. My beloved, the beloved apostle, and the great God. So do you and I, my fellow believer. May we appreciate it. The closing greetings come not only from Paul and his companions in our letter, but the greetings he sends are from the saints also that are in Caesar's household. My beloved, what an amazing evidence of God's grace and power. Paul, the prisoner of Rome, had been used of God for the saving of souls in the household of Caesar. Praise God. Now, how could this ever come to pass? My beloved, I can only say in summarizing the closing of this epistle, telling the whole outline of it, why the glory of Christian experience was proved by Paul. First, in chapter 1, we saw it. Christ was the purpose for which the apostle lived, for to me to live is Christ. In chapter 2, Christ was the pattern whom he followed. In chapter 3, Christ was the prize for whom he was reaching, to meet him in glory at the end of the race. He cared not for whatever may be the rewards. I just want to see him. And last of all, in chapter 4, as we have said, Christ was the power, the strength that enabled him to live. Christ, his purpose, his pattern, his goal, and his power. But are there any beloved listeners to this message who are unsaved? My beloved friends, can I say this again? Without apologizing for what may seem to be repetition, if you're unsaved, my friend, your greatest need is Christ. Listen to these words that I tell right now. You can go to heaven without health. You don't need a healthy body to go to heaven. You can go to heaven without wealth. You can go to heaven without fame. You can go to heaven without having a great name. You can go to heaven without an education, without culture, without physical beauty. You can go to heaven without friends. You can go to heaven without 10,000 other things, if you want to name them, but you can never go to heaven without Christ. Think it through. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14 and verse 6. Let me again repeat. Name anything, name everything, name everyone. You may get to heaven without all of that and all of them, but you can't get into heaven unless you've got Christ. I'm not concerned about your religious connection, my friend, your earthly prestige, your popularity, and so on. I am concerned, do you have Christ? What a joy and a privilege and a sacred responsibility it is for me to say, I offer to my unsaved friends the only Savior in the universe and in the world today, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Do you have Christ? He alone is the door into heaven. Remember his words? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And I dare you to find another door. There is no other. Shall we pray? Oh, blessed Father, we pray that Christ will be all in all to the believers in the Lord Jesus today who have listened to this message from the Philippian epistle. We pray for the unsaved who may have been listening, that he may, by the Spirit, have brought them through the Word to Christ himself as their Savior. We ask again in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.